All right, you know, I don't know that Crosspoint would be Crosspoint without a little Gnarls Barkley and crazy on Sunday morning. So thank you guys for nailing that today. Go ahead and have a seat. You know, we're really excited you're here today. We're in this crazy anniversary celebration for this crazy journey that Crosspoint has been on over the last 2 years. And my name is Kurt, by the way. I'm the lead pastor here at Crosspoint. And we're really excited you're here today. And let me tell you what, Eric just mentioned a few moments ago, but if you're a guest with us this morning, of course, we're always excited, you know, when guests come through our doors, as many do every weekend. And yet today, whether you're here for the first time or maybe you've been checking us out for a few weeks, you know, you're going to be able to see kind of behind the scenes today. You're going to get a behind the scene look at what really drives Crosspoint and why we do what we do today. So I'm excited you're here with us. And then if you're a regular around here, welcome back. We're excited to see you. Always glad to see you again. And for you, you know, you're going to get some information and you're going to kind of get a clearer picture of where we're continuing to go and what God's continuing to do through this crazy journey here at Crosspoint. And just so you know, we're not way out in left field. This is what the Apostle Paul said right here in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, if I acted crazy, I did it for God. That's why we do it around here. All right, if we acted overly serious, I did it for you. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. And so, you know, this is why we get a little crazy around here. This is why we, you know, we'll do nearly anything it takes to help people see Jesus for who he really is and to create a place for you to just come and explore Christ at your own pace. So excited you're here today. Before we do anything else on this, let's take a moment and pray. God, I'm thankful that we can come into a room like this, a dark room, and we can explore things. We can see things. We can be challenged with things that we really can't pursue in many other sectors in life. And God, I'm thankful for what you're continuing to do here at Crosspoint and in this community and how we're just a part of what, how you're bringing restoration and redeeming to people's lives. And God, I just pray that you would continue to show us today what you're doing, how you're using this community, and God, how we can continue to be a part of that. It's an exciting thing. And God, I just pray most of all that you would allow us to not just see this as something that's for everyone else, but God, maybe you want to do something inside me today. And so I just pray that you would help us to each be open to that, whatever it might be. Pray these things in your name. And according to your character, amen. Well, you know, people often ask me, you know, as we're kind of talking about this crazy journey, you know, they'll say, well, where's Crosspoint going anywhere? I mean, I don't know if they think I'm not a planner or we have no vision. I don't know what it is, but say, so, you know, where are you guys going? And my response is nearly always the same. You know, my first response is God only knows. I mean, God really only knows where we're going, but then I'll usually say something like this. I'll say, you know, we're saying things that aren't being said. We're building something that is yet to be seen, and we're trusting God to do something meaningful in and through a bunch of imperfect people. And that's really exciting to us. I mean, when we think about what that means, that's kind of why we're here today. And it's exciting to be a part of this journey. It kind of captures the spirit of what the crazy journey has been all about. And the other day somebody said, well, what do you mean you're saying things? I mean, don't all churches say the same things? Well, you know, we really try to say things that aren't being said in other sectors of our culture. You know, things that maybe are dealing with some of the truths or some of the issues that some people aren't willing to touch. And it's not that we're always trying to shock you, but we're just really trying to authentically pursue truth to the best of our ability. In fact, a couple months ago, my daughter Macy came home, and she's a little bothered when she got off the bus, and she's in the fourth grade, and she said to me, she said, Dad, you know, some of the boys at school are talking about you. They're talking about how you always cuss in church. And I'm like, well, what exactly did they say that I said? Because, you know, I have been known to let a few words fly. And so I'm like, well, you know, she's like, well, they say that you use the S word. And I'm like, oh, man, I've never really used the S word, at least on the platform before. And I'm like, well, Macy, what S word are you talking about? And she said, well, Dad, they just said you just keep talking about sex all the time. I'm like, well, of course I've been saying that. And, you know, see, we're in the middle of a sex series, which we do, I don't know, every 12 to 18 months. We, you know, do a series where we spend 4 or 5 weeks. A series is basically where we just talk about something until we're sick of it. And so we'll spend 4 or 5 weeks talking about God's intentions for our sexuality. Well, we get into some pretty intense stuff. And I always say, you know, I'm going to share with you as if I'm sitting on my back patio. And if I wouldn't say it on my patio, I wouldn't say it to you and vice versa. And so, you know, we were in this conversation. I said, well, Macy, you know that's not a bad word. And she said, well, I know. I've been telling them all that's a beautiful word. It's a great thing, and I'm picturing it in my mind. My fourth grade daughter going home and telling her friends at school, you know, the pastor's daughter said sex is actually a great, great thing. She is usually not in our services. That's why we have great children's environments out there if you would like your kids to head that way right now. But, this is what we mean. You know, we say things that aren't being said. And we're really pursuing a little truer north, a little more of an authentic truth to the best that we can. You know, we're building something that is yet to be seen. You know, Crosspoint is not a location. You maybe see shirts around here that say, I am Crosspoint. It's not that we have an ego about ourselves. We're just saying, hey, we are Crosspoint. I mean, the people are Crosspoint. We meet in a school. I mean, during the week, I don't know if you've ever been in this building. We were here about 3 weeks ago serving a lunch to all the teachers in this building. There's food flying in this building, milk being poured, kids getting picked on. This is not necessarily a healthy place right here in the cafe. And yet, you know, on weekends, this is the place where we transform it into an environment where life change can take place. And, you know, and so we're building something that is yet to be seen. And yet over the last few years, we've been realizing the potential of what God can do as we move out of a temporary location and into a more permanent location, a place that can be, you know, custom built out for the ministry of Crosspoint to be a blessing to the community, not just for us, a place for us to have our weekend services, some of the things that happen out of this place every week, but primarily a hub in the community, a place for connection, a place where people can go for free coffee and they can use the Wi-Fi and hang out and have meetings. You know, we realize that people need this kind of place of connecting in the community. And so, you know, over this next year, there's going to be a lot that's going to take place. In fact, if you're not familiar with where we're going, Eric referred to the weekly earlier this morning. Go ahead and take that out. And on the back panel, there's some information there. If we could raise the house lights just a hair. There's some information, if you're newer to Crosspoint, about where we're heading over the next year, where our property is, where we're going to be building this launch pad for the ministries of Crosspoint to continue to be a blessing. It's a couple hundred yards up the road and to the left on Oleo and Silverstone. And so, you know, over the last few months, our strategic team has been in the process of securing financing for this next phase, this build phase to complete this project. And we've been in the process with our staff team kind of laying the visionary footprint with our designer, the initial footprint of what this space is going to be intended for, the general flow. We're close to beginning to inviting our next layer of leadership in to speak into the specifics of this project. And then we've also, our strategic team has also been working at identifying a builder to come online with us so we can basically bring cost analysis and have all three components, the financing, the design, and the builders at the table. So, and here's the really cool deal. So we can get this thing to groundbreaking late this fall. This is the plan, that we're going to be moving toward groundbreaking late this fall. So a lot is going to be happening over these next few months. And then third, you know, as I think about everything that's going on right now, it makes me trust God more. I mean, it's a reality. We're trusting God. It's really what we're doing. We're building something that's yet to be seen. And we're trusting God to do something meaningful in the lives of people through a bunch of imperfect people like you and me. And I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed what God continues to do through ordinary people who come into this place, who maybe even have no interest in God. Maybe somebody invited them, and yet God kind of goes through a window in their lives, and something just comes alive. And all of a sudden, they're like, man, I want to be a part of this thing. And it's absolutely amazing to us. And so, you know, we want to be that kind of people. And, you know, what we're really going after, we want to continue to create greater impact in our community. And not only in our community right here, but in the greater Indianapolis area, and literally something that reaches to all reaches of the world. And the question we have to ask ourselves, you know, nearly every week, you know, we kind of wrestle with this. You know, why do we do this? Why is it that we continue to load in, continue to load out, to continue to shape environments so that people can come and see Jesus for who he really is? Well, here's one of the reasons right here. Take a look at Andrea's story.
Jaffrey started coming to Crosspoint in January 2011. It happens to be convenient right down the street from where we live. Saw the sign outside, and I was kind of looking. We had moved back to Indiana, and it was going to be a stable place for us where I didn't have to move anymore with my job. So I decided it was a good time to find some place to go. I knew after the first couple Sundays, the kids are coming home and they're singing the songs and they love church. And Cruz was asking almost every day, like, when are we going to go back to church? And I was explaining to him, and I thought, wow, this has a way bigger impact than I had really given it credit for. And again, that was my first purpose in going. But then I started to go, and I realized, for me too, that it really was something that I had been lacking for a long time. And it made me feel comfortable. I came in, I was coming in by myself with the three kids. Nobody knew anything, you know, whether Bryn was with me, not with me. And nobody questioned, nobody asked. The services really, I really connected with needing to explore again and reconnect and maybe give answers to questions that I didn't realize I could get from going back to church again. In some ways was a little scary, I'm not a type A personality, but I am pretty much, I'm a perfectionist. I like schedules and controls. I mean, that's just how I am. And so sometimes in service to connect so much and almost feel, I don't know, just a different feeling that I hadn't felt. It was scary and yet so therapeutic at the same time that it just, you know, there were some times after service I just found myself in tears and I couldn't explain it. And it was a good feeling, not a bad. And so it really made me feel like this is the right thing. And I really felt like it was making me grow as a person and look at things differently and not maybe be so hard on myself, my kids, on life in general. There are a couple of people at Crosspoint who've touched me and made me feel welcome. Becky Tao being one of the ones. She just really made me feel like, hey, there's a lot going on. Being a mom is hard, but we get through it. You know, day after day, we're strong people and you're gonna get through it. And I, you know, she probably doesn't realize how many little chats we had just back in the kitchen, you know, making coffee or what have you. But it felt so good to hear that from somebody else. The Wanzas have been great. Bethany took me in, you know, asked me to be a part of the coffee bar. It just felt good to be a part of something. Again, they don't really know me. I'm pretty protected. Law enforcement, we just don't go out to anybody. That made me feel great to be a part of it and to not even think about it. I didn't have to think about whether or not I wanted to serve. I just wanted to do it. I wanted to be a part. And then the Whites, who invited me to be a part of their Life Together group and welcomed me and the boys into their house and into their discussions, again, has been beyond words. What it's done for me. Hopefully I can give that back to somebody someday.
You know, this crazy journey we've been on for the last 2 years is we've really been saying, you know, we need to get into this next place, this next more permanent location where we can have maximum impact. It's not really about any of that stuff. I mean, that's just simply a tool. It's what we've always been called to is life change. What we've always been called to is creating a place for people to come and create connections, to feel a part of something, to feel like, you know what, there's something within me that I have that can give to others. You know, I was reminded of this last Friday evening. I had a chance to perform a wedding ceremony for a couple that actually met here at Crosspoint. And contrary to popular belief, we are not a matchmaking service, all right? But if it's one of those cool things where this couple came here from varying backgrounds, and my wife Julie and I had both known each of them in kind of different ways, but and one of them for quite a long time. And so we knew a bit of their story. We knew a bit of the kind of relational brokenness they had each experienced at particular points in their life. And to just kind of watch that relationship grow and develop was really cool. And then, of course, to be a part of the ceremony was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yet, what really stood out to me was when we got to the reception. And a number of Crosspoint people, in fact, the father of the groom said to me, are many of your church here? And I said, no, only maybe 10 or so. And then I stood at the door and watched like 40 or 50 of you go out because you were dressed up. You were in suits and ties, and I didn't recognize you. And so, you know, and many of you were there, but it was really cool because during the reception, I had a first. I've never experienced this before. You know, the normal routine of going through the reception protocol, and it came to the toasts of the bridal party to the bride and groom. And then the groom took the mic and said, hey, I'm going to do something here that I don't know that's ever been done. I'm going to give you a toast to all of our friends and family. And so he began to kind of lay out why we were there. He said, we are here tonight because of love. We're here because of love. And he said, we're standing here tonight because of all of you, every single one of you. The reason Becca and I are standing here is because of love and because of you. And then here's the phrase that really got me. He said, 3.5 years ago, I gave up on love. I gave up on it. I was done. I made a vow to myself that I would never do this again. And he said, because of all of you, we're here. And it's all because of love. And it just got me. I mean, it just got me. And I looked out and I saw many of your faces. And I just, my immediate thought was, wow, this event would not have happened right here. We wouldn't be here tonight. This couple may not have even met. They wouldn't be committing their lives to one another. They would not have a renewed sense of love and that they were even capable of loving again if it weren't for you, the Cross Point Tribe. It was a really cool moment. I thought, if there weren't people investing and giving and fueling the life change and the environments and the infrastructure that happens all around this place, we may not be sitting in this room tonight hearing this heartfelt speech of how love has changed them. In 3.5 years, there's been a dramatic change. I thought if it wasn't for people who were just sold out to the belief that people could actually change, sold out to the belief that Jesus actually still has the power to change lives, to heal brokenness, to heal relationships, to bring a hope where I feel like maybe there's no hope left. He said, it's all because of love. It's because of love. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And then he started talking about the groom, Ryan. He started talking about his life verse. And he kind of paraphrased it. I think it goes something, the original verse is Matthew 19. It says something like, you know, with man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. And he kind of paraphrased. He said, you know, this is my version. He said, you know, with God, I can do anything. And together, we're unstoppable. And he looked at me and he said, Kurt, you could preach that on Sunday. You have my permission to take that, to which I am. I said, you know, that's with God we can do anything, but together we're unstoppable. I thought, what created this change right here? I mean, what created this change? And on the way home, late that night as Julie and I were traveling home, she said to me, she said, you know, Kurt, where do you think the change began? I mean, you know, we've seen it progressively take place over the last few years, and we've watched their relationship grow and develop and move from, you know, dating to engagement and now down to being married. And I thought for a few minutes, and you know, I don't know, and then all of a sudden it hit me. I'll never forget the day where I was standing right here. I was standing right here. It was actually the second week after we began this crazy journey here at Cross Point, this crazy campaign to begin to raise capital for our next new location. Really what we're doing is investing in life change. And immediately the next week after we began this journey, we had a baptism celebration. And I was in the tub, and there were people coming up to be baptized, and there was music playing, and we were singing, and all of a sudden we lost our rhythm section. All of a sudden the drums just cut out. And it kind of threw me for a moment. I looked back, and here's Ryan, the groom from 2 days ago, got out of the drum chair, and he's walking toward the pool, and he jumps in fully clothed, shoes and all, and he says, it's time for me to declare that, hey, I'm all in. I've made this decision in my heart, but I've been through a rough road, but it's time for me to say, Jesus, I am all in on this deal. And so we baptized him right here in this pool of water, raised him up. I mean, we embraced there for a moment, and I kid you not, he walked out up the steps, across the stage, got back on his seat, and just picked up as if nothing had happened. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And I said to Joyce, I think right there, that was the moment. I think that was the defining moment that took it from one place to a whole new place. And then a few short months later, we had another celebration, and his fiance then at the time stepped into the pool and said, hey, I need to make this declaration as well. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, this right here symbolizes what this crazy journey is all about. I mean, this pool of water symbolizes this life change, this outward expression of what God has inwardly done in my life. It kind of symbolizes what this crazy dream that God has, not just for this church, but for our entire community. It's what his dream is for this place. And so I want to camp out on this a little bit. I want to talk about this because we're going to be having a baptism celebration. Now, this is so central to what we're pursuing here at Cross Point as we're going after, you know, continuing to raise capital and investing in this place, this launch pad in a sense. But in a very real sense, it's not so much about that as it is about what takes place right here. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And we're going to take a look at this here in just a moment. And if you're somebody who's newer to baptism, let me just say baptism is not a new thing. In fact, this thing's been going on for thousands of years. In fact, a couple thousand years ago, there was this practice that was going on for literally hundreds of years. It was this ancient kind of practice or rite or ritual of cleansing. And so what would happen is in these Hebrew communities, there would be these pools of water named mikvahs. In fact, here's a mikvah right here. And it had a kind of a gradual stair step down into the very middle of the pool. And they had these pools all throughout the Hebrew community. And basically, these pools would be filled with flowing water, whether it be rainwater or it might be, you know, from a stream or a river. But the water had to be moving because in order for it to be cleansing water, it had to be living. And living water has movement instead of being stagnant. And so here's what would happen. Here's what would take place. The Hebrew people would walk up to this tub, and they would step in, and they would take a first step down into the water, into that first step down, and they would immediately stop, and they would pray. And they would say, God, would you cleanse these feet? May this water serve as a symbol of cleansing these feet, and may you prepare the path before me to be a blessing for you. And they would continue down those stair steps into that first area, that first kind of platform, till their hands were in the water. And they would pause and they'd pray and they'd say, God, may you cleanse these hands. These hands have been used for evil. They've been used to hurt. They've been used to steal. And God, I would ask that you would cleanse these hands, that you would now let these hands be used for good, for blessing, for serving. And then they would continue down into the mikvah until their chest cavity was totally covered in water, maybe up to their shoulders. And once their heart was underneath the water line, they would pause and they'd pray, God, would you cleanse my heart? I confess my sins. I confess my wrongdoings. Would you cleanse me? Would you make my heart to run after the things that your heart runs after? And this process would continue till they were all the way completely submerged under the water. And the moment their head went under the water, they would pause and pray for a moment. God, would you cleanse my mind? It was this symbol of just being totally enclosed or covered with grace, with the cleansing power of this healing water. And then they would walk up out of the water and go on with their day. And this was this ancient practice of cleansing. And this went on for hundreds and hundreds of years within the Hebrew communities until one day they saw this person, Jesus, come and they saw his life and they saw what happened to him near the end and they saw him go to a cross and they saw him be posted on this cross and then they saw him die. And they saw him be taken down and put into a grave and then 3 days later come back to life. And as they saw this, they thought, man, there's some connections here with what takes place in this healing, cleansing water. And so they began to make these connections between their rite or ritual of baptism, of cleansing, to what the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus actually meant. And the Apostle Paul takes this way further. In fact, he describes this in Romans chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, who were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so when these early followers of Jesus saw this, they saw these people walk into this cleansing pool, and they saw people begin to commit their lives to Christ, to align their lives with Jesus, and they said, hey, this has something to do with this ritual that we know that takes place in the mikvah. And then it goes on in verse 5 right here, and here's what Paul says. He says, if we have been united with him like this in his death. Now this word united is key right here. It's the Greek word is symphutos, which actually means to be planted intimately together, as if it's two seeds going into the same hole in the ground. So this idea of we've been united, we've been symphutos, intimately planted with Christ in his death, and then he goes on, we will certainly also be united, or symphutos, with him in his resurrection. And the word resurrection in the Greek language is the word anastasis, which means to stand up or to be stood back up. And so these early believers saw this practice, this symbol of water, of this cleansing pool of water, as this symbol of being intimately planted in Christ's death, cleansed by his grace, and then re-stood back up, anastasis, stood back up, a new creation, a new person in Christ. And this took on a whole new meaning. And when I watched Ryan give this speech the other night about how he's changed and how he never thought he could love again, and Julie asked the question, where did it begin? I thought, it starts right here. When somebody says, hey, I've made a decision in my heart, and it's been a very private decision, and I've received from God, and as a response out of that receiving, I just want to give a public expression of saying, God, man, I am all in with you. My life is now bending toward you. I want to be intimately connected in your death just as I'm intimately connected in your resurrection. Now, this raises some questions for us. Questions like, you know, is there something mystical or magical that takes place in this water? I mean, if I just touch it, you know, what does it do? And to which the answer is no. I mean, there's nothing magical about this, but there is something powerful about the symbolism, because you and I are physical people. I mean, we feel things, we touch things. I feel the warmth. I'm surrounded by the presence of this water. It reminds us of the way God's grace covers us. There's something about the symbolism and the cleansing nature of water and what it brings to our life. Another question it often raises for us is, you know, can I make it to heaven if I'm not baptized? Now, let me just say, you know, for some of us, we're seeking that out right now. We're trying to figure this whole deal out. You know, CrossPoint's a place for you to pursue God at your own pace, where you can come and you can kind of check things out. And we know that there are people that walk in our doors every single week from various backgrounds, spiritual orientations. And so if that's where you are, we hope you continue to seek and just try to figure out who this Jesus is. And at the same time, there are some of you who have been on this seeking path and you've not made that decision yet to receive Christ, to receive his grace and confess your sins. And if that's where you are, then let me say this is not for you. The only requirement for baptism is that you first receive the grace of Christ, and then as a response of that, we come into this healing, cleansing water as a symbol, an outward expression of what Christ did for us. Now, one of the questions that sometimes comes up is somebody says, well, what happens if I receive Christ's grace and then you know, something bad happens? I get killed in a car accident, or I have a heart attack, God forbid, and all of a sudden I didn't have a chance to get in the pool. I mean, am I going to get to heaven, to the gates, and God's going to say, well, I'm sorry. I mean, you, I know you wanted to receive me and you did that, but, you know, you didn't get wet. I mean, there's nothing I can do now, and so I'm sorry, you're out. I don't think God would say this. This is not the heart of God, all right? This is not the heart of God. I mean, think of it this way. That, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he was crucified in the middle, and on either side of him were two thieves. And these two thieves, just moments before their last breath, one of them looked at Jesus, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, will you remember me today when you were in paradise? And Jesus didn't say, dude, I'm sorry, it's too late. I don't have any water up here. I can't do anything right now. No, Jesus said, you know, he said to him, he said, later, today, you will be with me in paradise. He said it starts with believing. This is where you enter into relationship with Christ. When you choose to receive his grace, confess our sins, confess our brokenness, and receive freely his grace. Now, for some of us, we've made this decision already. We've made this decision a long time ago. Maybe last year or a few years ago, you said, you know, this is something I've chosen to do. I've personally made this decision. But for some reason, and you have your reasons, you've never stepped into this pool to publicly declare, hey, I'm connected with you. I'm intimately planted with you, Jesus. I'm all in with you. And you have your reasons. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, our family's not here. I'm going to wait for the perfect day when the sun shines at 75 degrees, and you better move to California if you want that, right? But, you know, we all have these reasons, these things. And you know, let me just be clear about what we're talking about here. We're talking about a God who came and said, I'm going to lower myself down in love and grace. I'm going to put on flesh, and I'm going to give you my one and only son. His name is Jesus, and he's going to teach you how to live. But ultimately, he's going to pay the price for your sins, for your brokenness, so that you don't have to. It's a free gift that I give to you. And then after you receive that, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing initially, which is to follow in my example of baptism. And yet for some reason, we get to that point where we're like, Jesus, man, I'm all about your grace. I mean, thank you for forgiving me, but I think I'm going to pass on the first thing you asked me to do. And it sounds like it's not that big a deal, but you see, there's something, are the waters magical? I don't believe that they are. But there's something significant in our spiritual journey when we choose to publicly say, hey, I've made this decision in my heart, and I'm going to now outwardly express that I am intimately connected with Christ in his death, and I'm intimately connected in his resurrection. There's something powerful that comes in that. I want you to take a look at Terry's story. He's asking the question, you know, I'm up for whatever might be next. Here's his story.
When I came, you know, to the point of realization that I wasn't praying to God and asking for things out of a feeling of that I wasn't as important, really, because there were all these other things. There's world hunger, there's peace, there's all these other things. There's people, you know, who have diseases and, you know, have you know, troubles in life. And I really feel blessed to be where I'm at. And I think that was just really the realization that I came through throughout the weeks. That I noticed and how that was playing a part of my life, and really me not just, you know, asking for things or trusting in God. It's definitely taken me a step further. It's definitely opened me up to thinking of new things, I guess, and trusting, I guess, that I can open up and that I can put more faith, more trust in God, and really just believing more, I guess, that somebody's able to listen to me, you know, when I'm going through hard times or when I'm not going through hard times and things are going well, that he's still able to listen. So I think that's more where I've grown. I'm just excited, I guess, for the next, you know, whatever it is that God has in store, whatever it may be.
In just a few minutes, Terry's going to be getting into this pool of water because this is what's next for him right here. This is what's next right here. And really, this is what Crosspoint is about. It's about removing the barriers. It's about creating a place for people to see Jesus and experience Jesus for who he really is. I mean, this is what Crosspoint's always been about. It's what this crazy journey we're on is all about. And so as we kind of wrap this up, I want to ask you to take out your connection cards that Eric asked you to fill out earlier this morning. And if you're newer to Crosspoint, one of the things we do each and every week is on the backside are some next steps, and we kind of provide some walking points for you. You know, what am I going to do out of this? Where do I go? What's my response as a result of being here today? And we don't make anybody do this, but we really hope that, you know, you don't just come and say, oh, that was great, it was cool, but and then you go on living normally. Maybe something happens and you say, here's the step I'm going to take. Here's what God's calling me to. And as I think about this crazy journey we're on and where we're headed and how we're, you know, continuing to pursue environments for life change and looking toward, you know, beginning to break ground this fall for this dedicated location for Crosspoint to continue to make maximum impact in our community. You know, there's a number of things that I want to ask of you. For some of you, you've made a crazy campaign commitment somewhere over the last 2 years. Somewhere over the last 2 years, you filled out a card and you said, you know, I'm going to give above and beyond my normal giving to Crosspoint to this crazy dream, and I'm going to fuel, you know, this next location for Crosspoint. I'm going to invest in life change. And if you filled out a card or made a commitment, then first of all, I want to say thank you. And I want to ask you to do over these next few months and this next year, whatever you can to complete that commitment, if you can. And if possible, to accelerate it as we approach groundbreaking this fall. We're going to be in a really big season over these next months. And then there may be some of you here today who have not filled out one of those cards, who have come here recently, or maybe you've been here for a while, but for whatever reason, you've not made a formal commitment to the Crazy Campaign, to investing in life change. Two things I want to ask of you. First of all, I want to ask if you just would begin financially supporting or continue financially supporting the ministry of Crosspoint, the infrastructure, the things that allow us to have seats and space and children's environments every week. These are the things that, this is the infrastructure that allows us to create life change or create an environment for life change. And without infrastructure, sustainable life change is not possible. And so would you do that? And then additionally, would you do whatever you can above and beyond your normal giving to give to this crazy journey we're on, to this next location, this next launch pad? And I'm not going to ask you to fill out a card. I'm not asking you to make a formal commitment. I'm just asking you to prayerfully consider whatever you can do. And then there are some of you here today who have already completed your crazy campaign commitments. You've already fulfilled them in full, and I just want to say to you, thank you. I've told many of you that personally. I shared that with you in the video earlier this week, but I want to say again, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for helping us continue to create life change. Thank you for setting the pace. And here's my ask to you. Is there anything you can do as we approach groundbreaking later this year to help us get a little closer to that point? And so I ask you to prayerfully consider that. And the really cool part about that, if you're here for the first time, or maybe you've just been kind of hanging around here and this whole church thing's new to you and you're still trying to figure out who Jesus is, let me tell you what, there are hundreds of people in this community that have been not only praying for a place for you to be able to come, but the fact that maybe you walked into this place one day at the invite of a friend, or maybe you saw the sign outside, isn't by accident. For there are people all around this place investing so that people can walk in these doors and experience Christ and see him for who he is. And maybe you've been doing that. Maybe you've, you know, been hanging around and you're not really opposed to Jesus anymore, but you've never taken that step toward him. And you're just kind of like, man, that's a good thing. I really think I'm seeing a whole different side of Jesus. And the question I'd have for you is, it's what's holding you back? What's keeping you from taking that step of receiving grace and beginning a relationship with Christ? And you may be somebody who's like, hey, I'm not there yet. I'm still got a lot of questions and still kind of skeptical. Hey, that's cool. We hope you keep coming back. But if you're at a place, you know, there does come a point where you have to make a decision. Being around it by osmosis doesn't make it happen. It might soften some things up. But ultimately, we come to the place where we have to say, hey, am I willing to enter into relationship? Maybe that's a decision you need to make today. And then there's probably a number of us who at some point have made that decision, but we've never been obedient to Christ, following his example by expressing that publicly through water baptism. And you may have all the reasons and the excuses, and there may be good ones. There really may be good ones, but at the same time, maybe God's saying to you, hey, the only next step for you right now is to be obedient in the first thing I'm asking you to do. And if that's where you are, then I'd encourage you to consider that today. So as you're holding this card in your hand, before you mark any boxes, I want you to just take a moment. I'm going to pray for you, because I believe we're kind of standing at a very spiritual moment that's going to change trajectories for this church, for individual lives over these upcoming months and years. So let's pray. God, I'm thankful for what you continue to do in this place. I'm thankful for the way that my life has changed as a result of this place. I'm thankful that there are people that have enough vision to see that, God, there's something that we're building that's not even yet seen and may never fully be seen. I mean, because a church is not a building, but it's a community. I'm thankful that there are people that have experienced your love in such an enormous way that say, hey, I can do nothing less but continue to create this opportunity for others. And so I would ask you to just prayerfully consider what that might be. Help guide us in that, God. Help us to get a clear picture of how we're going to continue to be able to fuel this thing over these important, critical next few months. God, I know there are probably some of us in this room that for the very first time, maybe we've been here a time or two, maybe 10 times, and yet every time we walk into this place, we kind of feel like Andrea. There's something that's just awakened within us. We begin to experience your love and your grace, and we see that there is a hope and that you actually have the power to create change. And yet, maybe for one reason or another, we've never taken that step to invite your grace into our lives. And maybe we really don't have a good answer to the question, what's holding us back? And so maybe today is the day. Maybe even these next few moments, maybe today is your spiritual birthday. The day when you embrace and receive Christ and confess your sins and receive his grace and begin this journey that will take you to new places. And if that's the case, if that's where you're at, if you're just feeling like that's the step I need to make right now, then I'm gonna pause for just a moment and allow you to just quietly utter those words to God. God, this is what I need. I need your grace. I confess I'm sinful, I'm broken, and I need you to begin to heal, forgive, and restore. And whatever words that you come up with, share them with God. God's not so worried about the words as he is the intention of your heart. God, for some of us who maybe just prayed that prayer for the first time, the very logical next step would be to follow the first thing you ask, which is to declare ourselves through baptism. And God, there may be others of us that just need to take this step. We've gotten to a certain point spiritually, we've received from you, but we've never really been obedient to that first thing you ask us, and maybe that's the step we need to take. So God, just prompt us, help us to clearly take a step and go to that new place today, I pray. As you open your eyes, take a moment and fill out your card, the back of your card. I'm going to give you a moment to just mark a box or kind of say, hey, here's what I'm going to do as a result of my time here today, and then we're going to continue on. Here's one of the really cool things about Crosspoint. You know, this whole crazy journey we're on, really Crosspoint at its core is about removing barriers for people to help them experience Jesus for who he is. And we're going to have an open baptism here today. We have some people that are planning to get baptized, but this water is going to be open to anyone that says, hey, it's my time. It's my time to take this step and declare myself. And you might be thinking, but Kurt, I didn't know we were doing this today. And some of you do because you've been here before, but here's the deal. While you may not have come prepared, we're prepared. We've removed all the obstacles for you. And so we've got a team of people. In fact, John and Jen over here will, if you want to take this step today of declaring your faith publicly through water baptism, then they'll help usher you out the door right here to the right of the screen. We've got a whole team of people in the gym with, you know, shorts and baptism t-shirts and undergarments that are brand new out of the package, never worn before. And so that you can change your clothes in the locker rooms, come out, get baptized, follow Christ in this example, go back and change and walk out in the same clothes you came in today, dry. We've removed all the barriers. The question is this your next step? And if it is, we want to celebrate that with you today as a celebration of this crazy journey we're on here. God's doing amazing things, so stand with me. And if you want to take this step of water baptism today, then make your way as we stand and sing to the right. And John and Jen will help you out the doors there. So let's stand and let's sing.